Very good afternoon to you, Namibia and the world. And thank you for tuning in to Eagle FM. I am your host, Ndafa Happy Juju, and you're listening to On The Radar, on your trusted source for informed updates, critical insights, and impact development from across Namibia's economic, social, and governance landscape. Now, today is the 14th of July, 2025, and the time is 2 minutes past the hour of 1300 hours. Now, this isn't just about headlines. On the Radar is a space for deep, meaningful engagement where we interrogate the stories shaping our country. Now, we ask the hard questions, revisit past coverage, and connect the dots using archived audio, expert opinion, and sharp analysis. From major policy decisions to grassroots realities, we bring you the full picture. Our interviews are long form and in depth because some stories deserve more than just sound bites. Now we come prepared with the facts, the context, and your questions so that every conversation takes us closer to understanding what truly lies beneath and on ground. Now remember, On The Radar is available on our live Eagle FM website, as well as Eagle FM national radio frequencies. And don't forget, you can also download the Eagle FM app. Also do subscribe to our WhatsApp channel for real-time updates, interview highlights, and exclusive clips. And not to forget our Facebook. Follow us on Eagle FM Namibia so that you can be updated on what's happening, on the recent know-how of what's making headlines, whether socially, economically, or perhaps community-related work. So stay with us and stay beyond the surface. This is On The Radar, where Namibia comes to think, interrogate, and analyze what's making headlines. And now to get right in today's discussion. Namibian youth hosted a roundtable discussion on the socio-economic challenges they are facing. The round discussion took place at the business opportunities and it looked at business opportunities and how youth can look into develop business capabilities and venture in areas which can improve their lives. Now, the discussion looked at entrepreneurship journey, collaboration, fintech, and work ethics. The roundtable included Tara Shanika, who is the Chief Executive Officer of Asset Management, and Sim Shivuta, Commissioner of Namibia Revenue Agency, as well as others that I will mention along as we go, who provided guidance and technical guidance on how youth can face and solve challenges. Now, my colleague David Shombe attended the roundtable discussion, so I sat down with him to get a thorough discussion or thorough understanding of what exactly transpired at that roundtable. Let's take a listen. Good afternoon, David Shombe, and welcome to On The Radar News Bulletin.
Good afternoon, Juju. How are you?
Well, thank you.
Yes.
Now, on Saturday, you attended a roundtable discussion in terms of professionalism and industry leaders in regards to entrepreneurship. Can you tell us what that discussion was all about? What was really discussed at the roundtable? What are the main points that they were discussing?
Thank you, Juju, for having me, and welcome back from Live. Saturday I attended the roundtable discussion. Mm-hmm. It was about bringing young people together, especially those who are in business, those who want to start a business, and also to connect them, particularly with professionals, mm-hmm. and also discuss about various issues which are affecting Namibian young people.
Yeah.
Usually there is always one thing that I'm always talking about, and I think it's a crisis. When you look at where we are, particularly the youth of our generation, mm-hmm. looking at our inability to have business opportunities, looking at crime, looking at unemployment, and you realize to say something more needs to be done. And me being invited to that roundtable discussion, I think it was a good thing, because the content of that discussion was to look at key issues that young people can do. Mm-hmm. Not really to say what the government can do, but what young people can do in order to make sure that they deal with their issues. Yeah, and number one was the issue of business and the issue of entrepreneurship.
Yeah.
And the conversation there was not necessarily to say how to do business for the sake of survival, but how to do real business. Because I was so surprised, Juju. In fact, I was shocked. to see there was a 21-year-old lady who is running a successful business. I don't know what's happened behind closed doors, but the lady showed resilience. The lady showing that she's on top of her game. And there were other young people who also were giving each other ideas to say, yeah, guys, let us talk. This is our situation. This is how you run a business. And this is how you can do with entrepreneurship. And there were a lot of speakers, professionals talk about Sam Shivute, transformational coach. Many people know him from Namra, as a CEO. And there was Tara Shanika also, the CEO of, the CEO of Namibia Asset Management. And there was Hano Oshike, he's a well-known investment analyst and also supporting startup. But one key takeaway is that young people, we must prioritize what is necessary. I stood up and I raised a statement to say, no, guys, this is a very important event. And this is one of the events which can supplement events like Kasi Vibe and all those things. Because young people, we only get united when we want to watch soccer, which is not also a problem. But issues of business and making money, I think should unite us and also assisting us. And the other thing which I can also indicate, which was mentioned there, is the power of collaboration. You know, Juju, we have a problem in Namibia. Not only in Namibia, just in Africa. Juju, you have a good idea.
Yeah.
You are the best. I don't want to say you are the best in the world. You are one of the great speakers at the institution. Let me say you have friends who we want to start a business with. But instead of them saying, we have Juju who can do PR, we have David who can do IT, we have HD who can do marketing. They just want to say, no, Juju is the founder, the CEO, and the chairperson. And we see this when we interview people.
Yeah.
There's this thing of title, but not really to say there's power in collaboration. Yeah, that's why in a few moments, you'll also be able to listen to one of the speakers by the name Tala Shanika, who indicated to say, you guys, there's always a power of collaboration, because in life, as well as in business, you always need a companion to move somewhere.
That's true.
Yeah, you always need a companion to move somewhere. And it's an African proverb to say, no, if you want to go far in life, you need to go with people. But if you want to go fast, at least go alone. But you are going fast until where? You are just going to check us here and you will not reach anything. Yeah, that was one of the main things I can indicate was very important, and it's a key takeaway.
Shombe, while you're still talking about collaboration,
there's
this thought that's been coming to my mind a lot lately.
Yeah.
And it's about some people have good business ideas, very great business ideas that can generate income. Yeah. And other people have the money but don't have the great
That is the thing. That's
how
the
exactly
thing.
Can we unite these two people?
No, in fact, I think understanding the weakness and the need of others, that is number one. Because when you understand the, and this, it was one of the things was mentioned to say, having money and also capacity doesn't mean that you are enough. Because some of the great ideas are coming from people without anything.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's why there is to say, you don't really need to say you know everything. Mm-hmm. That's why successful businesses, they started to say, no, if you know this one, I know this one, we can go forward. Because some people just say, no, I started this thing, I have money. Okay, you have money, yes, it's good. But on top of money, you need somebody who can drive. Yeah, you need somebody who can do marketing. You need somebody who can also, even managing of finance.
Exactly.
That's why, you know, I also got into a discussion with a few of them. There were also some guys from the bank. Then they indicated that in Namibia, we don't need the money because we already have money, like human capital. Because if you go in the street, an engineer is there, an accountant is there, a welder is there. The only problem is only that all these guys, they are fighting a lone battle. Knowing that they could do better than coming together and form up something. And I think maybe we realize that with time I was also opened, because I realized that most of the things that we want in life, we just think alone. But there's always somebody who can, you know, come and advise.
And you can work together.
Indeed.
What discussions on that round table were actually discussed to say, how do we bring those people together? Because sometimes they don't know each other. But then bringing them together, they collaborate together and, you know, put something together that can really generate good finances for the benefit of both of all those parties that are involved. How then do we bring them together?
Yeah, that is actually a very good question, and it was indeed discussed. And one thing which was mentioned is networking. And networking, you know, it's like financial management. Juju, when we were growing up, these are things we were not taught it until we got to university and high school. We finished high school without knowing what networking is. It's knowing people of same interest that you can work together in the future. Because people like to say most things are outside. Everyone is outside.
Yeah,
go and network. And maybe from network is where we can get friends. And I think it's something, that we need to embrace, to say, go somewhere and meet people. Don't talk to everyone. Because I can give you my contact, but you're not interested. It's life. You're not interested in my business.
You just
say, no, this one is David Scott. I leave it.
Yeah.
It's life. But you find somebody who say, no, I think this one, this kind of business we can do together. Then, yeah, I think the number one is networking. Then from network, you find interest, then you can, collaborate from there. I think that was one of the things which was mentioned. And also, there's also a new version to say, people like saying, no, you guys talk about, you like, and in fact, it's also happening in Africa, you like conferences talking about problems and not doing anything and what. But conversation in itself, it's up to you to say what you take from there and who you met also. Because some of these guys, us from the media, we are lucky. We see them through media privilege, what. But some of these guys, you only see them on TV. When you see them on TV, you only see them in the newspaper.
Yeah.
But they are there live. You see them and discuss with them. I think it's just networking and learn from the best.
And the interesting thing about networking is that some of those discussions are put out there for anybody that wants to attend, and even for those ones who are usually not in the city where the discussion is being held. Sometimes they live stream those things, and I think young people also are not keen or are not interested in taking that opportunity and say, oh, you know what, let me listen to what actually. What would you say to those young people?
And I think it's always very important to make sure that you must always willing to pay something. Whether something is for free, you are paying attention. You are paying your time. And some of these things, I think we are going to change, because I don't know, we are a bit demotivated, but that's not the solution.
Yeah.
And what is very interesting, Juju, one thing I've heard is that the world is not going to end. The country is not going to collapse. We just need to deal with our own problems.
Okay.
And that is the thing that we need to work on with. But yeah, it's about us prioritizing what needs to be prioritized. Even if an event, you really want to go to an event, then it requires to pay, for example, 10,000, just to give an example.
Yeah.
You know, Juju, with that money, you can spend it within, as a young person, you can spend it within 2 days.
A week.
If you have a good budget, you can buy variable things.
Mm-hmm.
But the content that you are going to get, because some of the things we see, the price, we don't want to go. But the content that you are going to get from those things is a capital you cannot see. And I think that is one of the things. And I really hope, as a host of business and economic segment program, I really hope, you know, young people can be inspired to come together and collaborate instead of us just to sit back and become keyboard warriors and do all those things.
Shembe, thank you so much for making time for us right here on the Radio News Bulletin. Now, should you be interested in hearing more about business and economic related matters, catch David Shembe right here on Eagle FM from 1600 hours, Monday to Friday, right?
Yeah, bro. Okay. That is it. Thank you very much, Juju.
Thank you.
All right.
Okay, and there we had it from David Shembe. Now we take a pause here and take a visit to the marketplace. Now when we do return, we'll be hearing from the voice of Tara Shanika, the Chief Executive Officer of Asset Management.
Lipura nengeno wapombwa Eva Tere ulikoni maondo toto ingida ashike kapeno nwe kutite opoye ekukurile. Oshafa fana nongeshefa ili mehola mo iho etike kovano ile koshiwana. Onongeshefa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano. Okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi toda njuka. Okukwetira oipindi konu konda doi nawa. Nune udo otukwetira o special ange tashake ngeshefa omarudi dayo loka. Opone ushendife nawa nokumona oijamo ili nawa. Ninge kwata fanona Monica ko Eagle FM. Onore tatuimwe bali heavy nola natu. Heari bali no heari ileko berewa bera hetatu natu bali o hetatu matatu o mafelane Eagle FM, the eye.
Want to know about Namibia's latest business and economic news? Then look no further than the Villager newspaper. The Villager is an e-paper that is published every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for free, directly to your phone or computer. To become a subscriber, simply send a WhatsApp message with your number and email address to 081-200-4144. Be sure to save the phone number as a contact. The Villager, wherever you are.
And we are back. You are tuned in to On The Reading News Analysis and right here on your number one talk radio station, Eagle FM. Now let's hear from Tara Shanika on what he had to say at the roundtable discussion on socioeconomic challenges that was held this past Saturday, the 12th of July, 2025.
To have some companion in your entrepreneurial journey, it's always better to have some partner of some sort than being alone. I know that a lot of people like to be the only one. You know, I want to be the only one, I want to be the only one shining, but it's always better that you are more than one. It helps a lot. Even in terms of ideas, when you want to develop new ideas, develop a new business model, you want other opinion from your partners, from other people. So it's always better. If you can do it alone, please go ahead, but the best is always to collaborate with others. Don't bother too much about positions or titles. Titles are meaningless, really. Even if you call me a cook, can I run a business that is making money, that's making a profit of 20 million. I'm still a better cook than a CEO who makes $10,000. Am I not? Exactly. So position, a title is nothing. What is important is that your idea gets executed and you are collaborating and you are working well and you embrace other people's opinion. Don't always be the one right. Sometimes, if you are always right, you are not going to succeed. And there are people with that habit. It's always right. Whatever I say must go. You need to embrace other people's opinion, consider others. Of course, you can't just accept anything, but make sure that other people's opinion are considered in achieving the decision. But it's always good to be together. Even if those people are not necessarily shareholders in your business, but they are somehow making a contribution one way or another, providing coaching, support, and so on. Let me finally, one thing that I wanted to say. I'm sure we are coming close to the end of the discussion, is that there are the issue that Mr. Shibuta here was talking about the work ethics. I think our success as an economy will really be defined by our work ethics. And I have seen a lot of good work ethics in Asia, many Asian countries. And in Namibia, if I come to your shop, want to buy, and it's closing time, they just say it's closed. Sometimes it's closed. When I was at the NCCI, there was a group of French tourists who came to my office to complain about the closing time of businesses in Namibia. Because of their experience in Sokopi, they wanted to buy jewelry at a jewelry shop. And they even took out cash, euros. Hey, we have money, we want to buy. Then they said, close. No time. And so you have money, you want to buy stuff. In other countries, you don't say no to money. If you want to succeed, you really want to grow and scale up. There was a time I was in China, we went to buy suits. And this friend of mine was flying to London that same day. He wanted his suits. Three suits. And this tailor says, I can make them. Are you sure today I'm flying earning the money? Yes, I'll make them. And we went for dinner. At 11 o'clock at night when we came to the hotel, to found that Chinese guy sleeping in the couch waiting for his client to see if he can fit in the suit. He said, if you can't fit, I can still go back and make amendments. At 11 o'clock at night. And then he said that in Namibia, I just wanted to end you what Mr. Chinese was saying. The work ethic, the business, work hard, and provide excellent service and be competitive.
Thank you very much, President. Hopefully, young people hear that. You know, if you don't work hard, unfortunately, life will pass you by. And I think that also talks to my question, really about what this business has done for a long time. I think first things first, actually, I framed it as entrepreneurial drive, but again, it's going to do with the work ethic. If you don't work hard on your business, you can have the best idea in the world. Not prosper. And then in secondary, it's a real entrepreneurial skills, right? And what does that mean? Really, you know, you actually know, you know, what you're doing to build a business. It's quite important. I think the first, and I've learned over time, the most important entrepreneurial skill one should have, apart from your product, as has done, is business development. You know, what are you doing to build your business? Are you going out there pitching to people? You know, are you going out there looking for the right opportunities for financing, for product improvement and all of that to be able to build a business? If you don't have that, it's very difficult. And then on top of that, it's also understanding the industry. Again, it goes to, do you actually have the right knowledge for the industry you're in? Or, because many people will find very fast if you don't know what you're doing and they'll not buy from you and your business will not prosper. And then the last one is the business model you are operating in. Maybe it doesn't make sense. Maybe yes, I've seen some businesses and I've worked with a lot of entrepreneurs. The business is making sales, but then the margins are not there. Meaning that you're basically operating at a loss. Sometimes you don't even realize it, right? You're selling a product at $10, which you are manufacturing, right? And then you think, okay, no, but I'm manufacturing at $8. But I'm selling at $10, therefore I make a $2 profit. But no, you even take into account perhaps your employee cost, you even take into account your rental, and on all of that. But maybe, for whatever reason, the market is willing to pay you $100, or maybe you need to increase your price. So I think those are the main reasons why business fail, at least from my experience. Thank you.
Very good point there mentioned by Tara. Sorry. So quite some points that he mentioned, Tara Shanika, and that I've picked out and I take note of is that as a business person, you ought to respect other people's opinions. Of course, he said they might not be shareholders. They might not be on the decision-making table, but it could even be your employee. It could even be a cleaner, somebody who just says, you know what, I think perhaps you are into bakery, and they give you advice to say, I think the time we go out and distribute the bread in the morning is a bit too late. Maybe we should go much earlier, or we should, you know, that kind of stuff. So it's really good to respect other people's opinions, because you can't know everything. There will always be somebody who may be thinking, you know, it has a different way of thinking. And you do get certain people that just think very sharply when it comes to businesses, as much as you yourself may be the business owner, but they would just think sharply. So it's always very good to take their opinion. It doesn't mean that you are no longer the boss. It doesn't belittle you. In fact, when you do listen to other business, you listen to people who have great business ideas, they actually give you a lot of respect, especially when you do put into effect or into work their ideas. Now, another thing is work ethics, lacking in so many people in so many businesses. And I think could be some of the contributing factors when a business actually fails. Have some great work ethics within your organization and as well as with your customers. And a good example he actually pointed out is that this European people that wanted to buy something, and they had good money, that wanted to buy jewelry in Swakopmund, and they were like, we are closing. As much as policies should be respected, know that this is your business. A few minutes can take up 15 minutes, 20, probably 30, but that's good money. And not only good money, remember, your customer goes and tell other customers and recruits other people to actually tap into your business. Now imagine these are people from abroad and then you deny them access to your business. Little did you know that they have, among them are investors, among them are people who are looking at your products, that which you did, and they were gonna tell it to their other partners, and before you know it, you brought investment into the country, not just into the country, also to your business. You know, these are things that really point us that that we need to look into. And even if it's just a small business, we need to have those great ethics, work ethics along with our customers. Now, I know of a lady who tailors and she makes really good skirts. Mind you, this particular lady, when she does make skirts for you and you take it back to say, you know what, I think the length is too long, or I think the undergarment is showing, you need to do this, she will be taking it reluctantly, or sort of like to mama, you know, so we'll be trying to convince you that, no, this is, you need to have good ethics for your customers. Because if you don't give your customers the good ethic that they need, you don't give them the respect, you don't give them the platform to even retain your products and say, I'm not happy with this one, and you gladly refund it. If you do it murmuringly or grudgingly, they'll be able to pick it up. And if they do pick it up, they won't come back again, and they will not recommend the next person. And that's how you lose customers. So there's really a lot that needs to go in. Another pointer that he did speak about is understand the business module you are in. Understand what's happening out there. What are people doing? Perhaps you are into popcorn. What are people still adding crushed sugar, icing sugar? Are people still putting icing sugar into the popcorn, or are they perhaps they have shifted? They're now adding flavor to it, and they're boiling the sugar, making it sort of like waterish, but then, you know, still slimy, and putting the popcorn in it so that it can sort of like have that caramel crunchy type ofness, and then you bring more customers to you. I mean, there could be three different people making popcorn in your neighborhood, but you yourself, there's a certain value addition that you're adding to your popcorn that others are not doing, that now brings more customers. Now, that's just a simple example. What about for bigger businesses? What is it that you're doing that is making you stand out? And what research are you doing to see, oh, how are people actually doing it? Maybe I should be doing it a different way. So these are really good pointers. And of course, even though myself, I did not attend the roundtable discussion, as I listened to what transpired and how David also explained to us, I begin to ponder and I say, these are beautiful conversations that we ought to have. Now let's take further listen to what Tara Shanika had to say. And then thereafter, we'll bring you what the CEO of Namara, actually the commissioner, we call him the commissioner, not the CEO of Namara, Sam Shibita, also had to say. Stick with us right here on the radio.
These enterprises. And when you compare that and contrast that to the European peers, it's not always the same. And it's mainly because of two different systems. The American system puts a lot of emphasis on providing or getting easier access to risk capital. Risk capital is very important for any business that you want to launch. Whereas for the others, their emphasis is more on debt capital. And you can't really build the economy of businesses just on debt. You need to have risk capital that's available, that's accessible to entrepreneurs. And risk capital is really what I think we are trying to address in coming up with all these ideas, like the new fund, or the venture capital fund that they're trying to set up, which is taking quite long to have it set up. Because we can't just, because I see a lot of young people always blame the banks. Banks are not providing finance, but the banks, by their very nature, are not meant to provide any other capital other than debt financing. So you need other players to come in and provide risk capital for you to be able to finish. It's also better for your business because you don't want get 100% debt of financing, you want to be only obligated to pay, to repay debt in a small amount of money, and therefore remain with a lot more to grow and expand, scale up, and make a profit. So that is a huge challenge that I see in Namibia, that we also have it, that we are not in the category of where the likes of the US or China are. We are more into where Europe and others are. I think we need to really get more into having easier access to risk capital. And one of the challenges that I see is also that sometimes, just because we have spoken too much about lack of access to capital, a lot of young people, a lot of us are somehow scared to enter entrepreneurship and to enter the business world, just because we are told you will not have access to capital. But there are others, like Brian, Robina, and others, myself, and many others that have succeeded somehow to build businesses in the same environment where we are saying it's difficult to access capital. Yes, there are challenges, but it doesn't mean that we should not become entrepreneurs. We should actually become, try to be entrepreneurs. And I'm encouraged by this type of discussion. It's for young people. I think saying, as Mr. Shibuke was speaking earlier, I was saying that it's good that, although it's for you, you have brought in some elders to also provide whatever little knowledge they might have. It's important that we have these type of discussions because, I hope we get inspired. We can really start to think about entering the entrepreneurship space. Two is that we hope we get some information that might be helpful to us to pursue our entrepreneurial dreams that we have had for some time perhaps, and we may not have implemented. It is now the right time, in my view, to begin implementing these ideas. Maybe, although I'm maybe speaking too much and all over the show, maybe just to add, as I conclude on this, we have a challenge in the economy, in our Namibian economy. You know, a few days ago, we have seen the media reporting about the reclassification of Namibia from a high middle income to a lower middle income. And the government or leaders and officials tried to say, no, it's not a downgrade. It's a reclassification, which is true. When you look at it, it's really just a reclassification. It's not a downgrade. Because of the inequality that we have in Namibia, our high per capita income does not mean much to many people. Our per capita income, although it's steady at close to $5,000, it doesn't mean anything because the majority of Namibians are really poor, but very poor, almost by any standard. So we have seen that the only way, and I think the NSA reported somehow that we only have about 3% of Namibians who earn 40,000 per month. Very small number that earn that kind of money. Everybody else, 3% is about 90,000. 3% of 3 million, right? If my mathematics is right. It's about 90,000. Only 90,000 of Namibians earn 40,000. So 2.91 million Namibians and the best ever. Many of those actually end close to zero, obviously. But how do we make sure that we increase the number of Namibians? Because we can only achieve better life if we increase the number of those that earn higher than 40,000 or 40,000 and above. If we can increase from 90,000 to 1 million, for example. Can you imagine what we have, the kind of the country and economy we have, if were to increase the number of 40,000 earners a month to 1 million, that would mean that we have dealt poverty a huge blow if we were to move there. How do we move there? Is by people enterprising, creating businesses, innovating products that are globally competitive. Unless we do that, we'll not be able to increase that number from 90,000 to 1 million, at least a third of Namibians earning 40 a month. And people innovate when they are young, people do business when they are young. When you wait until you, I think myself, about marriage here, when you get married and have kids, the risk is increasing. And you don't want to risk your job and go into business when you have a family to feed and stuff like that. So you must start now. When you are 21, like prime boss, you shouldn't wait until the risk become high and become a lot more risk averse. It's the time, the right time is now. And that's when you have very fresh mind to innovate. Mr. Moderator, I know I have spoken all over the show and actually far.
What I would want to...
That's when you have very fresh mind to innovate. Mr. Moderator.
And there you had him. Still in regards to the roundtable discussion that was held in regards to business opportunities and how the youth can look into develop business capabilities and venture into areas which can help improve their lives. Speaking also at the same event is Sam Shivuta, the commissioner of NAMRA. Let's take a listen to him.
I know I said that.
And I will answer your question. Transformational coach, motivational speaker perspective, but I must also indicate that I'm also an entrepreneur. Just put a break because I need to give 100% attention to the building of NAMRA. Now, there is this thinking whereby entrepreneurs think that if I want to start a business, the concern should always be access to finance. There are a number of success stories of successful business people who have built successful business and they did not need necessarily or initially to focus on access to finance. Because it's a limiting dimension every time we have to think that for one to engage into a successful business, one needs to have access to finance. Because we also do know there are other businesses or entrepreneurs who posted, so I got a loan from the development bank or from the commission, only for them to be like a slave to that specific financing institution. In actual fact, they're even worse off than those who are working. I'm just telling you that. Now, what I would want to advice, and I just want to build on what was said by Shanika and Isaiah as well. I think the most important thing is this thing of proper preparation prevents poor performance. Really knowing as to where one will get the finance. I think, and I don't want to repeat that because it's already stated, there are many other where one can get finance. What are the challenges that are currently being experienced by others? What is the best approach that one can use to be able to get access to that funding? But also, why not start with what you have? Why not start where you are and then scale up? I'll tell you one thing. Writing a book, for example, Messi Dana wrote a book. That's a business. You write a book, that book, one day, many people do not know that when Obama wrote his book, it was somewhere there, many people were not aware of him. But when he spoke in 2005, and everyone wanted to know, who is this guy, Obama, and they went to buy his book, he became a millionaire in one day. That's just one example. The other example is that sometimes there are things that we are very good at. Like I do transformational coaching, I do motivational speech. Now, you ask yourself, what is that you are very good at, or that you can do to provide solution to others, and you do it without necessarily even having to employ capital. So So again, I think great, sufficient, comprehensive answer was given about how, with regard to the issue of a challenge to access to finance. Those challenges have been there. It's going still to be there. But my advice is just that sometime, again, we need to continue thinking deeply. And also research was talked about here. How other young people from other jurisdictions are going about to be able to access funding. So that even those institutions of government, the policymaker, you are able even to advance a position and a proposal how you could be better helped. Even the youth fund that the government is working on, and I think money, it's growing very nicely, and very soon some of the youth will be able to access that. Money will never be enough. We don't know money is coming, it's not going to be able to address everyone. And therefore, I think the most important thing is really to understand the environment and the dynamics of the environment in which you're operating and say, how can I do it? There's one thing that I don't know how many of you have read the African Continental Free Trade Agreement. I don't know how many, okay, I'm happy for those who have read it, but in that African Continental Free Trade Agreement, there are about 5 protocols. One protocol is just to give attention to women and the youth. And with that, because most of the entrepreneurs used to argue and say, our market is very small, we are less than 3 million, we are 3 million, and our GDP is also very small. Now, with the African Continental Free Trade, which must already start operating in Namibia now, we're talking about having a you have about a population of 1.3 billion. So our ideas, our solution, our products, our service can now access at no cost 1.3 billion people. And that GDP, we're talking about 3.5 billion, a trillion US dollars. But what are we doing to prepare ourselves? And therefore, that's why we need to get in conversation like and get different people who can bring different information. When you share that information, you put it into practice. Yes, access to finance have always been a challenge. But I must also be the one to tell you that most of the successful people who have built successful businesses, yes, there are those who have used the money for financing institutions, but there are also many. It's really sometimes about getting a great idea, implementing that idea. If you need access, if you need finance, there are also investors who are able to fund viable and bankable business ideas. So never give up, never be distracted, never be always be positive and knowing that it's not only about always getting access to the commercial bank or to funding institutions, but it's possible to make it. Thank you.
And there we had it from Commissioner Sam Shivute on his contributions, or just partially part of his contributions at the business roundtable discussion on Saturday. Now, with that being said, let's pause right here and take a trip to the marketplace. Now, when we do return, we'll be bringing you what's making headlines today in regards to economic indicators. Also, our studio line is open. 083-288-401 is the number in studio. Please come through, air your opinions and contributions right here on the radar analysis.
Lipura nenge no wapungwa eva tere ulikoni maondo tuto ingida ashike kapeno nwe kutite okoye ekukurile oshafafana nongeshefa ili mehola mo ihewe tike kovano ile koshiwana onongeshefa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi toda njuka okukwetira oipindi konu konda doi nawa nuneudo otukwetira o special ange tashake ngeshefa omarudi tayo loka okone ushendife nawa nukumona oijamo ili nawa Ninge pata fanona, Monica ko Eagle FM, onore tatuimwe bali heari, nola natu heari bali no heari. Ileko derewa, nora hetatu natu, bali o hetatu watatu, o mafilane, Eagle FM, the eye.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of failure.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
So not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know, a person who does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Welcome back. Now, at this juncture, we take you to what's making headlines in terms of economic indicators today. Now, we start off with the Namibian dollar compared to other currencies. Of course, today, one US dollar will get you 17 Namibian dollars and 83 cents, while 1 euro will get you 20 Namibian dollars and 85 cents. 1 pound sterling will get you 24 Namibian dollars and 04 cents. 1 Japanese yen equals to 0.12 Namibian dollars, while 1 Chinese yuan equals to 2 Namibian dollars and 49 cents. 1 Australian dollar will get you 11 Namibian dollars and 72 cents, while 1 Swiss franc will get you 22 Namibian dollars and 38 cents. Now, from on a more broader trading economic, India's inflation rate fell. India's consumer price inflation eased for the 8th straight month, falling to 2.1% in June 2025, the lowest level since January 2019, down from 2.82% in May and below market expectations of 2.5%. Now, the sharp decline was largely driven by a 1.06% drop in food prices, marking the first annual decrease since early 2019. Vegetable prices plunged 19%, while pulse fell 11.76%. Prices for spices dropped 3.03%, and meat and fish were down at 1.62%. Inflation in the fuel and light category also moderated to 2.55%, that is from 2.78% in the previous month. However, price pressures remained persistent or slightly increased in other sectors. Housing inflation rose to 3.24%, that is from 3.16%, education to 4.37% from 4.12%, health to 4.43%, that is from 4.34%, and transport and communication to 3.9% from 3.85%. Now, on a monthly basis, consumer prices rose 0.62% compared to May. Meanwhile, Belgium's industrial production fell 7.3% year-on-year in May 2025, marking the sixth consecutive monthly decline and accelerating sharply from a revised 2.4% drop in the previous month. The downturn was driven by the decline in mining and quarrying output at minus 2.9% versus 2.0 minus 2.0% in April and manufacturing at -7.5% versus -1.6%. Meanwhile, the contraction moderated in electricity and energy supply at -4.0% versus -8.0%. On a seasonally adjusted monthly basis, industrial output declined 2.8% in May compared with the revised 0.6% drop in April. Mongolia's trade surplus narrowed sharply to $194.8 million in June 2025 from $548.8 million in the same month of the previous year. Now, exports plunged by 22.8% year on year to $1,183 million, while imports rose by 0.5%, that is to $988 million. Now, for the January to June period, the trade surplus contracted to $1,053.2 million from $2,511.1 million a year earlier. Exports dropped by 16.6% from a year earlier to $6,581.4, driven by sales of coal, washed cashmere, crude oil, sheep and goat meat, and iron ore and concentrate. China remained Mongolia's top export market, accounting for 91.7% of outbound shipments, with coal and copper oils and concentrate at 44%, marking up the bulk of exports. Meanwhile, imports rose by 2.8%. Now, on agricultural commodities, today the top commodity gainer is palm oil at 1.49%, with the biggest losers being rice at -1.08%. Now, metal commodities, the top commodity gainers are lithium carbonate at 1.41% and silver at 1.39%. Gold coming in at 0.42%, and the biggest losers in this category of metal commodities is platinum at -0.66%, with copper at -0.61%. Now, in regards to energy commodities, the top commodity gainers for today are natural gas at 4.51%, heating oil at 1.16%, crude oil WTI at 1.06% and blend crude oil at 1%. European markets opened the week in negative territory, with the stock exchange 50 down to 0.8% and the stock exchange of 600 slipping 0.6%, as investors reacted to US President Trump's announcement of a 30% tariff on imports from the EU, set to take effect on August 1st. Now, in response, the EU stated it would not retaliate immediately, instead seeking to negotiate a resolution. Now, it announced plans to extend the suspension of its countermeasures until early August. However, the EC emphasized its readiness to protect EU interests. EU trade ministers are meeting today to discuss the bloc's response. The auto sector was hit particularly hard, with shares of Mercedes-Benz at -1.8%, Stellantis at -1.5%, BMW at -1.3%, and Volkswagen at -1.3% under pressure. Now, the tech sector was also lower, including SAAP at -1.3% and ASML Holding at -0.4%. On a more positive note, different stocks were mostly higher, including Thales at 1.4% after French President Macron announced €6.5 billion in additional military spending over the next 2 years. Bitcoin jumped from 2% to surplus $122,000 on Monday, settling a new all-time high and cementing its position among the world's largest assets by market capitalization, now estimated to be at $2.4 trillion. Now, the latest rally is fueled by surging institutional demand, particularly through spot exchange traded funds, along with a supportive U.S. policy outlook and favorable global macroeconomic conditions. Analysts also pointed to rising concerns over the U.S. fiscal trajectory after President Donald Trump, of course, recently passed tax cut and spending bill raised the debt ceiling by $5 trillion, intensifying long-term debt sustainability fears. Now, adding to the bullish momentum are expectations of the Federal Reserve rate cuts, with markets increasingly pricing in looser monetary policy. Trump has continued to apply political pressure on Fed Chair Jerome Powell to reduce borrowing costs in an effort to stimulate growth. And now that's what we had for you in regards to what's making headlines today on trading economics. Now we take a trip to the marketplace, and you know, right after that, we shall be bringing you news beyond the borders. Stay with us right here on the radar.
Lipura nengeno wapumbwa eva tere ulikoni maondo toto ingida ashike kapeno nweko tete opoye ekukurile. Oshafafa na nongeshefa ili mehola mo ihewe tike kovano ile koshiwana. Onongeshefa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano. Okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi to danjuka. Okukwetira oipindi konu konda doi nawa. Nune udo otukwetira o special ange tashake ngeshefa omarudi kayo loka. Opone ushendi fenawa nokumona oijamo ili nawa. Ninge fata fanona Monica ko Eagle FM. Onore tatuimwe bali heavy nola natu. Heali bali no heali ile ko berewa dora hetatu natu bali o hetatu watatu o mafilane Eagle FM the eye.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of failure.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? Either a person that doesn't have a capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Want to know about Namibia's latest business and economic news? Then look no further than the Villager newspaper. The Villager is an e-paper that is published every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for free, directly to your phone or computer. To become a subscriber, simply send a WhatsApp message with your number and email address to 081-200-4144. Be sure to save the phone number as a contact. The Villager, wherever you are.
Welcome back. Now it's at this point that we take you to news beyond the borders. Starting off in South Africa regionally, and then we move over to continental news. Thereafter, you can expect some international news. Starting off in South Africa. Now, the PSA, or Public Servants Association, has called for immediate removal of police minister.
Association General Manager, Mr. Ruben.
It's now welcome Public Servants Association General Manager, Mr. Ruben Malega. Ruben, it's great to have you with us on SA Today. So as PSA, you are calling for the immediate removal of Minister Senzo Mkhunu, as well as an investigation on Mkhwanazi's allegations he made last week. Tell us more, sir.
Thank you very much. We have the view that this is an opportunity for the president to redeem himself as the CEO of the country. We have seen that there's been quite a number of instances where managers have been behaving. Managers in this instance, we refer them as ministers. I think all South Africans have voiced their opinions about the allegations made by General Mkhwanazi. And the only honorable thing to redeem this country, because the most pertinent issue that affects the country is crime and corruption. And it cannot be true that at this point in time, the president can even consider put aside or suspension. Remember, these are not employed, individuals by the state. They are actually redeployed by them. They are serving at the behest of the president. So it's an opportunity for the president to remove the minister and put up a new minister that we can get some kind of support and also confidence of the citizens. I think in overall, the South Africans express themselves over this matter. And I can simply say that a majority of South Africans feels that it's time that South African Police Service get a new broom, as a new minister, to make sure that it can restore confidence and can show that all those allegations that have been made by General Mkhwanazi are investigated without hindrance or interference.
Mm-hmm. And Ruben, judging by the gravity of these allegations made by Mkhwanazi, how crucial is the complete removal? Because you're not calling for the suspension of the minister. How crucial is then the removal of Minister Mkhunu in your view as PSA, especially as the government has somehow ignored the expensive concerns of the hefty national dialogue and is forging ahead? Change can never be effected without a proper will. And unfortunately, for those hardworking, honest public servants, serious matters are often rubber stamped in this country. But these revelations have actually torn citizens apart. And there have been threats of even adverse action should Ramaphosa not do the right thing, so to speak, and instead suspend Mkhwanazi or take him somewhere else. I mean, let's talk about the risks and threats then to national security as well as peace.
This is a matter of national security concern, and is a matter that does not require the president to even think about a way of putting the minister aside or even suspension, because it has been a norm that many of ministers or those who are in power, whenever they found wanting, they are redeployed in the form of promotion, they are redeployed in the form of serving as commissioners elsewhere. But this matter that has been, these allegations that have been made by General Mkhwanazi are of serious nature. We all know that even in the public service, if there are allegations of serious misconduct by our members as an employees of the state, the state or the employer as departments would put the members immediately on suspension. So that cannot be something that is new, something special. It happens everywhere. If there are allegations that are seriously affecting the nation, as has been made by General Mkhwanazi, it is only befitting. It is the only option that the president should actually, because it's not an employee, it's been deployed. A proper way of doing this matter is to remove the minister and put a new minister that can be somebody neutral that has not been tainted by this allegation, so that when the investigation is underway, there will be proper investigation that without hindrance or interference by anybody with political power.
Mm-hmm. All right, Ruben, thank you so much. We're going to leave it there. Thank you so much for your input. That is Mr. Ruben Malega, Public Servants Association. They're putting pressure on Ramaphosa to remove Senzo Mkhunu as Minister of Police with immediate effect. All right.
Now, still in South Africa, in regards to politic matters, South Africans have lost faith in political parties, says Floyd Shivambu.
Shivambu says South Africa's rapid population growth over the last 3 years has been disproportionately dwindling electoral turnout. over 42 million South Africans were eligible to vote in the 2024 general elections. However, only 16.3 million people cast their votes, with a population of 41 million people in 1994. Over 19 million voted in the country's first democratic elections. South Africa's population is estimated to be around 64 million people today. Shivambu says the fact that the numbers have been shrinking at the voting stations shows South Africans are disgruntled with political parties.
Last elections, we had 19 million voters, and 3 years later, you've got 17 million voters, despite the fact that the population has grown. If anything, by the lack of voters in South Africa, the number 18 behind, it's 41 to 42 million people. But less than 18 million of those participated in the previous elections. What does that mean? It means they don't have faith and confidence in political parties and the electoral system.
Shivambu says he fears South Africans may be left with the AFF and the MK party as the only hope for the country.
The only two other organizations that are remaining to put the replacement, the ANC, the organization, the Congo, the Economic Freedom Fighters. I've got very intimate knowledge of both the EFF and Congo season. So for 10 years from 2014,
supply centers in areas like Chisenyi serve as key points for
I have played the central role in founding the EFF. And when we founded the EFF in 2013, this is potentially going to be an alternative for the people of South Africa, local ANC, today.
Let's now switch over to Uganda, as Uganda gives explanations as to why Uganda buys produce from neighboring countries.
Supply centers in areas like Chisenyi serve as key points for receiving crops from countries all over the East African region. Tanzania is now the leading supplier of rice, groundnuts, cowpeas, and beans. Irias Bukenya, the vice chairperson of Kampala Traders Association, says although crops grown in Uganda are of high quality, the level of storage diminishes their quality and subsequent demand.
Church leaders and residents.
The quality is very low, for instance, in produce such as maize, beans and rice, because when the crops are harvested, they are immediately taken to the market. On the other hand, farmers in neighboring countries first clean up the produce using machines before it is brought to the market. They sell clean produce.
The traders say the low quantity of locally harvested produce cannot meet the current market demand.
We should blame the negligence on both the citizens and the government, which does not care about standards. The Tanzanians know that their produce is good and healthy enough to be exported.
The Tanzanians bring clean beans and maize. However, a Ugandan farmer comes to the market with dirty beans full of grass, soil and stones.
Frank Mugabe, the spokesperson of the National Agriculture Research Organization, NARO, says the influx of foreign produce on the market stems from a liberal market policy that allows farmers to compete freely.
These do not point to a reduction in production in our country, no. When we held the African Union Conference on Agriculture in January here, President Yoweri Museveni said clearly that some people had asked him to block rice from Tanzania from coming into Uganda. And he said he refused that idea because he said, let competition sort that issue.
However, Robert Tuliakira, the director of the African Green Health Network, attributes the problem to Uganda's soils losing their fertility.
In this two perpetual crisis is what called biodiversity loss. And we have a problem where a lot of biodiversity, for example, the earthworms, the bacteria, which are responsible for the fertility of the soil, because of the effects of climate change and global warming, most of them are dying down. And that's why you see we have increased hard pans, we have increased loss of soil fertility, and therefore the meteorological department must work closely with the Ministry of Agriculture.
He calls on the government to prioritize indigenous crops so that local farmers can benefit from farming.
We have been grappling with issues of GMOs, the genetically modified organisms, where most of these crops have found themselves on the market. And we have been rallying government to be deliberate and focus on what you call indigenous species, the seeds which actually our mothers are growing on the market. So we need to be able to see that we protect deliberately. We must deliberately protect our farmers. First of all, ensure that there is access to the market. Because if you allow, you know, this floodgate of the foodstuffs from outside Uganda, then you are going to have a problem where now people will say, instead of now going to do agriculture, let us all import.
Problem is, we have some unscrupulous people on the market who take advantage of people's ignorance and sell them seeds that are not of quality because they want to make quick money.
Tuliakira adds that the heavy reliance on pesticides and herbicides, some of which are counterfeit products, has exposed consumers to serious health threats.
These are actually also contributing to the decline in the soil fertility. Therefore, we must be deliberate in using what you call nature-based solutions, for example, using of mulching, for example, using a mixed farming to see that we use a crop rotation so that we can be able to restore the fertility of our soils.
We have had an infiltration of various types of pesticides on the market. Now, we have been encouraging farmers also to look out for quality and recommended pesticides for different challenges they are facing. But you may find also, again, unscrupulous business people who trade in very dangerous pesticides. Some of them are not dangerous, they put them on the market, but the way they use the pesticide turns out to be dangerous because these pesticides have a way you're supposed to use them.
When NTV asked Mugabe about the future of farming in Uganda, this is what he had to say.
I see our agriculture sector booming because, like I've said, if you look at the investment now, it's increasing drastically in agriculture. Government has now put focus on the entire value chain. Research facilities are going to be improved. The laboratories are going to be improved. We are going to buy more machinery for value addition. We are going to look out for more markets. All these aim to ensure that our agriculture advances across the value chain.
At the moment, though, farmers are struggling with unpredictable seasons and an infestation of pests, which are impacting the quantity and quality of their produce.
Meanwhile, in Kenya, Kenyan church leaders and residents of Kajiado urge leaders to avoid inflammatory remarks.
Church leaders and residents of Kajiado have called on politicians and youth to exercise restraint in their statements and avoid inflammatory rhetoric that fuels ethnic division among Kenyans. Speaking Sunday, the leaders stressed the importance of peace, unity, and understanding, saying that the nation cannot move forward if it continues to be divided along ethnic lines. They have called on politicians to be role models by spreading a message of unity instead of using political platforms to foster hostility. The leaders have also urged the youth to be at the forefront of maintaining peace and not to accept being used as vehicles to torment and bring social divisions.
ni kuona ya kwamba tutumie ukabila yetu kwa njia ya kumtukuza Mungu, ya kukubali kwamba tuliumbwa vile tulivyo, ya kukubali kwamba umeumbwa katika sehemu ya inchi ya Kenya umeumbwa, lakini nia yetu ni kujenga inchi pamoja. Ningeomba viongozi wetu wa kisiasa ya kwamba tukumbuke ya kwamba vile tulivyoumbwa
na tuweke amani katika inchi, tukiogojea wakati wa uchaguzi ufike, maana wakati huo kura yako kura yangu ndio ita.
Meanwhile, the U.S. slashes Nigerian visa validity to 3 months. Experts unpack the impact.
At the same time, the U.S. Embassy in Nigeria has announced that Nigerians seeking non-immigrant visas to the United States will now only be getting single-entry 3-month permits. Now, that's effectively rolling back the 5-year multiple entry visas they previously were issued with. A Nigerian Foreign Ministry official says Nigeria has no such visa policy towards American citizens. In June, the Trump administration added Nigeria to a list of 36 countries that could face travel restrictions if they failed to address security and diplomatic concerns within 2 months. Nigerians have been reacting to the new visa restrictions.
I think our government should come up with something tangible to tell the U.S. government to at least have a rethink on this law they've passed. It's actually, it's not really too good for we, the young Nigerians coming up. We might have something good doing abroad, and coming back, doing just a one-time visa, coming back to the country, doing another one, it's time constraining, it also involves money.
There is a positive advantage of that, because if you observe some of the things that we are supposed to at least maybe invest in our own nation here, most of our people we do use to fly, go abroad, carry all our wealth, spend it here. With this restriction, it will make our leaders to focus their attention into our land.
Now, the U.S. mission in Nigeria says the reasons for cutting back on most non-immigrant visas to Nigerians have been, in their words, misunderstood by the public. In a statement posted on its account on X, formerly known as Twitter, the embassy clarified that the reduction in visa validity is not due, they say, to Nigeria's position on third country deportees or the adoption of e-visa policies or its ties to organizations like BRICS. The U.S. mission claims that the shortened validity period is part of a broader, ongoing, worldwide review of how other countries utilize U.S. visas. Let's dig into a bit of analysis on this. Basil Abia is a policy analyst and a co-founder at Verif Africa. He's joining us now live on the program. Basil, so let's start with the position, the argument being made here by the Americans that are speaking to the BBC and later, of course, saying the same thing on Twitter. They say there is no connection between the change in the visa policy and U.S. efforts to convince countries to take in third country deportees. Do you buy that argument?
I do not buy that argument, and I think it's important to note the information available right now. According to BBC, they spoke with the Liberian foreign minister on the back of that conversation on Wednesday with the 5 heads of states of Africa, heads of states of the countries, the select countries in Africa that spoke with Donald Trump. And according to him, no such conversation was made available. But however, if you remember, there are also informed agents who were in that particular or who are conversant with that particular conversation, and they highlighted that these requests were actually made, and you can corroborate that with what is happening in South Sudan with the current acceptance or receipt of these dangerous individuals from Laos and from Venezuela as well. There's also information from diplomatic sources here in Abuja, full confirmation that these pressures have actually been mounted on the Nigerian authorities over the last week. In spite of that, Yusuf Tuka went, of course, to national television, probably the most watched political conversation in Nigerian national television last night, Politics Today on Channels News, to push back and to elaborate. For most of us who are pundits and analysts, we are always circumspect of information that comes from ASUROC, the staff, of course, of the Nigerian federal government. But when you speak with folks who are, are conversant with the information, diplomatic sources being available, and then look at the patterns of the last 2 or 3 weeks with the African countries who have been in negotiation with Washington, D.C., I think it's very important to highlight that you should not buy the argument from the Americans. rather stick with the diplomatic sources in-house because they're more accurate. They know exactly what's happening. And they're trained diplomats. You know, they're not going to tell you or wind you in with propaganda words compared to what you're going to get, for instance, from foreign ministers, like we saw with the Liberian foreign minister. So I do not buy the argument, and there's enough evidence available for all to see.
Indeed. And just to provide our viewers with a bit of context on exactly what we're talking about with respect to South Sudan, 8 individuals were eventually deported to the country last month. There was a bit of a legal battle that were held briefly at a military base, Camp Limoni, I believe, in Djibouti. Only one of those migrants, however, was from South Sudan. The others were from Mexico, Cuba, Vietnam, Laos and Myanmar, all countries that are thousands of miles away from South Sudan. The Foreign Affairs Minister, Yusuf Tuggar, also said that Nigeria and the United States are still negotiating a trade deal. But what is Nigeria looking for in any kind of agreement with the White House in this $10 billion relationship?
Yeah, actually, it's actually a $13 billion bilateral trade relationship. The data from Federal Ministry of Trade last year said for 2024, trade volume increased to over $13 billion. But we're looking at strengthening a few things. Obviously, there's also some private sector lobbying involved in that negotiations. As you know, the richest Nigerian in the world and biggest industrialist, Aliko Dangote, has commenced the exports of jet fuel to the American energy market, at least over 2 million barrels thus far, so far. So he's going to look out to lobby the Nigerian Foreign Affairs Ministry to continue to see how they can maximize that relationship by ensuring that the 14% tariff doesn't count, doesn't happen anymore. We're also looking at, from the perspective of the Foreign Affairs Ministry as well as the Trade Ministry for Nigeria, that the AGOA Act is extended to at least 2031 or 2037, whichever they want to. But I think the 2037 would be a better time frame for that. And that's because if you look at the numbers, again, these are publicly available numbers, the worth of trade volume between Nigeria and the U.S. on the AGOA trade agreement, the Africa Growth and Opportunity Act agreement, is over $3.8 billion as of December 2024. So that's a significant component of our $13 billion bilateral trade. Why would we want that to end? You know, especially for our supply chain bolstering, for our domestic SME producers, our farm producers, our farm processors, our agro processors as well. We're going to lose lots of jobs. And a significant end of that AGOA Act with the additional tariff, the 14% tariff that Trump is purporting for Nigeria, as well as the additional brick penalty tariff, combined 24%, means that we're going to get hit of losses of over $300 to $400 million, according to projections that have been made by Nigerian analysts over here, including myself. I think that's the number that we'll be losing yearly. And then, again, significant losses on our $3.8 billion deal on the AGOA trade agreement. So the two things, again, like I mentioned, would be to see that we continue to double down on our refined fuel exports to the U.S. markets, because it yields to the political messaging from President Trump, which is to make sure that energy is cheap. And that's why he's big on the drill, baby, drill mantra. Now, in addition to that, also maximize and ensure that there are negotiations for the AGOA Act to be extended. I think there's a chance in that regard because, again, the Africa, like I mentioned on this platform months ago on CGTN, I mentioned that the Africa advisor to President Trump is actually an African. He has a Nigerian citizenship. He's built a big business called the SOA. It's a supply chain and machinery and vehicle import company based in Lagos. He moved there immediately after he finished his graduate school in the United States of America. Has family that are Nigerian citizens. So there is a chance for negotiations, especially if you understand how Trump wants a more deals-based type of negotiations for his foreign policy. So with that, it makes sense for Nigeria to get at least the AGOA Act extended.
Well, we'll see how that plays out once September is here. Basil Abia, policy analyst with
The European Union and Mexico criticized Donald Trump's proposed 30% tariff.
The European Union and Mexico have expressed disappointment after President Trump said he would impose 30% tariffs on their exports to the US from August. The president of the European Commission, Ursula von der Leyen, posted on social media saying a 30% tariff on EU exports would hurt businesses, consumers and patients on both sides of the Atlantic. She added the European Union will continue working towards an agreement by August the 1st. Europe, along with Mexico, are Mr. Trump's latest targets. In 1 week, he's announced higher duties on 25 countries he says are exploiting the United States. He says these will encourage US consumers to buy more American-made goods. France's President Emmanuel Macron says he's in very strong disapproval of President Trump's announcement. If no agreements reached, the French leader suggested the EU plans speeding up the preparation of credible countermeasures. Italy's Prime Minister, meanwhile, Giorgia Meloni, said in a statement it would make no sense to trigger a trade war between the two sides of the Atlantic, whilst the Dutch Prime Minister, Dick Schoof, posted on social media saying the EU must remain unite and resolute in its aim to reach a mutually beneficial deal with the US. Wendy Cutler is Vice President of the Asia Society Policy Institute. She says Mr. Trump's 30% tariff on the EU took her by surprise.
My understanding is negotiations with the EU are progressing well and, frankly, progressing better than our negotiations with many other partners. So I have to believe this is some kind of either a display of Trump's frustration that somehow the deal hasn't been struck yet or an attempt to gain some negotiating leverage, which I'm not sure it's going to accomplish. I think, if anything, it could be counterproductive.
Well, Gordon Sondland is America's former ambassador to the European Union. He told the BBC he was 100% sure the tariffs would go through.
They're going to even increase it beyond the 30% until Europe finally opens its markets wide to U.S. products and services. This is something multiple U.S. presidents have tried to do through polite talk. The Europeans have been adamant that they will not budge on agriculture, they won't budge on cars, they won't budge on GDPR, and now it's going to be a game of chicken because Donald Trump is equally adamant, I should say, that he wants the U.S. to have complete access to the European market. If Europeans don't want to buy our products, that's fine, that's up to the consumers, but the access is important to the United States.
Well, meanwhile, Mexico's President Claudia Sheinbaum called the tariffs unfair, but said Mexico would continue negotiations and is optimistic a trade deal can be reached. It's America's biggest trading partner, and the neighbours are tied by a free trade agreement. Our Mexico correspondent Will Grant assesses what could happen next.
There is a bit of a sense of deja vu when it comes to tariffs and Mexico. Mexicans feel like so far it sort of unfolds like this. President Trump threatens tariffs. President Claudia Sheinbaum in Mexico calls for calmer heads to prevail and for everybody to hold their nerve. And then at the 11th hour, the two sides get around the negotiating table and tariffs aren't, by and large, put in place. Now, that is the sense on the Mexican side. And certainly, President Sheinbaum has again come out and urged calm among the Mexican people. She said, for example, that there are things that the two sides can work together on, but some things aren't negotiable, specifically issues of Mexican sovereignty. She said that the two sides had established a working group and that the letter from Donald Trump, a letter she said he'd sent to countries around the world, was pushing for that in order that for there to be cooperation, because once there's cooperation on the certain elements that he's underlined, specifically the drug cartels in Mexico, creating a situation that he said was turning North America into a narco-trafficking playground, that once they can work on those issues in the working group and the diplomats, then they can prevent tariffs from being imposed. So she was giving...
And with that being said, we have now come to the conclusion of today's episode of On the Radar Analysis. Now do stay tuned for Onkonana Dengue program brought to you by Louis Eshimi. From Indafa Happy Juju, it is goodbye. I'll see you again next time.
Lipurane ngeno wapumbwa Eva tere ulikoni maondo tuto ingida ashike kapeno nwe odite okoye ekukulile Oshafa fana nongeshefa ili mehola mo iho etike kovano ile koshuala Kono ngeshefa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano Okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evito danjuka Okukwetira oipindi konu konda doi nawa Nune uto otukwetira o special angeta shake ngeshefa omarudi tayo loka Opone ushendife nawa nokumona oijabu ili nawa Ninge pata fanona monika ko Eagle FM Onora itatuimwe mbali heavy nola natu heavy bali no heavy Ileko derewa mbura hetatu natu bali o hetatu matatu Oma filane Eagle FM The Eye
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of failure.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve.
Ota ingongotisa mwene. Ana ngeshefa ya Namibia ombitombwa na wa olonjika. Seitha nina omayakuro ni randitoma yoe yongeshefa yoe kupipira mo Eagle FM Media House. Ngoe tuende tuimeneha uka kombanga nina. Kara omkwashi pareki uimopo yomo programa detu. Moambo dengira selma onora heta tuimu. Datundatu heari hamano tano oniaji. Eagle FM. Go high.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and any of its staff.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Great news! Impact just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of Imba? Get all exclusive features for just 36 Namibian dollars a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything Imba has to offer at an unbeatable price. Imba. But the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the
eye. Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of failure.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
So not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? Either a person who doesn't have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura menace.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you.